Would you open your Bible with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 5. Ending last week, I told you there's a bit more I want to pull out of verse 9. It'll be a combination 8 and 9 as we make progress toward the end of this great little book. Remember, Peter is writing to suffering people, suffering because of the name of Jesus, scattered abroad throughout five different areas that are modern-day Turkey. They have been losing loved ones. They have a threat of death over them. And so there's the comfort of God because of the truth about God that Peter offers them through this book. Back at verse 6 in chapter 5, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. We've been some time on these verses, and there's plenty to look at to apply. Casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Let me ask another question. This just right now fresh came to my mind. If I asked this before, I'm sorry, I forgot. So I'll ask it again. Why don't we cast our anxieties on him? What do you think? We want to fix things, okay?
That's surrendering and it's giving it to someone else and letting go of the control.
Okay. What else do you think?
Yeah, I have two things that come to mind. One of them is that we're not accustomed to it. Part of that is because I think we do not have a large enough view of God himself.
I agree.
The second thing is that sometimes when we get started, we feel that our anxieties are trivial. Not worth God's time.
Okay. Okay, good angle.
Maybe when we're young in our beliefs, we don't call upon the Lord as much that we want to solve it as we do everything else. But as we walked and are closer to the Lord, then that comes out so much more. I cast more of my stuff to him on everything anymore. More than I did at the very beginning of my walk.
Okay.
And I think the reason there is because I've seen him work in my life, and I've seen where I've trusted him, and it's come true. And so that helps me in walking entirely. So, and to lay everything out there.
Okay. Any other thoughts? The invitation is there. It's not really a command here, but yet, it's like, so why don't you do this? Cast it on the Lord. Next, what else should we talk about? You know, there's no negotiation. That you don't have to earn it. You don't have to feel worthy of that. I certainly have heard young believers, Johnny, like you're talking, and Dave, you both hit on it, say, well, I don't pray for me. Well, you know, my needs aren't that important. Maybe God doesn't have enough time and other people are more important. Or to somehow think it's a pride thing, even, by praying for your own needs. You know, all these goofy things that come and muddy up the waters there. And it's real basic. God says, cast your needs on him. He cares about you. But not only does he care, he is able to take care of you. Okay.
It's still related, but I'm not sure that we know what it means to cast our care
okay.
on him.
Okay. Which that is a progressive thing as well. On the other hand, verse 8, watch out, there is an enemy. I'm thinking I can trust God, and I'm pretty sure I can't trust this enemy. And this enemy is going to use anything he can do to undo my trust in God. Resist him, Well, okay, be sober of spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion. We talked about this last week, seeking someone to devour. And of course, he's going to be seeking this someone who's at a weak moment, and all of us have our weak moments. All of us. Watch out. He's there. Be alert. Be aware. But resist him. How, or what's the means of resisting in this text? Firm in your faith. Your trust in God. So I'm getting to know God more and more. And Johnny, yes, the more experience I have seeing, well, God really can handle this. You know, it helps me in the trust factor for sure. But the firm in your faith is not equal to have faith in your faith. That is a false teaching that's been around our world for some time. I remember it at least 30 years ago and hearing this woman just having a wonderful experience telling me about last Sunday when this traveling evangelist, funny guy, you have to have faith in your faith. Well, I got a little faith now. If you have enough faith, you can be healed. If you have faith in your faith, you can have lots of money. That sort of thing. This is what you believe about God, the faith, staying in that, trusting God through it, firm in your faith. How do I resist the devil? Well, to know who God is, and that God is fully aware of what this enemy is doing. How do I resist him? What's the means? Peter says, firm in your faith, knowing there's a reasoning to this faith. Knowing that the same experiences, not only that I can trust God, but knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Okay, it gets bigger than just me. All people that know the Lord Jesus are going through this to one degree or another. Knowing that I'm in like company helps me to be firm in the faith, but also, I believe, praying for them. But there's something tucked in here, again, in the word translation. New American Standard says the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. So other translations here use a different word than the word accomplished. Experienced. Is that in the text? Okay. And that's how my mind translates it. But that word is different. It's an interesting word. Open Philippians chapter 1. Turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing. And this whole concept is going to become important to us back there in Peter. But watch this. That he who began a good work in you will perfect. What other word is there? I'm sorry?
Carry it on.
Complete.
Perform.
Continue. There's a lot of different options here. It is the word to bring it to an end. Complete it. Take it to an end. Well, that makes sense in this flow. I'm confident of this very thing, that he that began the good work in you is not going to be like Dan Robinson that's got 28 unfinished projects in his life. Right? Anybody else relate to that one? He is going to finish it. That is what this word means. Bring it to a completed end. Exact word in 1 Peter 5:9. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished or experienced, except that's the wrong thing. It's bringing to an end. they're coming to an end. There is something going on there that's not just the experience of it, but the end result of it in that Greek word. It's to bring to a completion and an end. That might be their own death through suffering right here on the planet. It may be, like James says, and like Philippians 1:6 says, that we're aiming toward a goal of maturity. But the same experiences of suffering, 1 Peter 5:9, knowing that the same experiences of suffering others are also going through, bringing them to an end, bringing their progress to an end, maybe their life to an end. These people knew what life was like and death was like, martyrdom, getting martyred for the name of Jesus. It was starting to ramp up at this period of time. Others are experiencing it. After you have, I'm back in 1 Peter 5, verse 10. After you have suffered for a little while, how long's a little while? Kind of negotiable. When I say that to my kids in response to a question, they kind of roll their eyes. They don't know if that means in 5 minutes or in 3 weeks. I'm sorry, but I can't get closer than that at this point in time. A little while isn't a period of time that you can mark off on a calendar, except I trust God in this little while, this period of time, this thing that I've got to walk through and experience it right now. Point is, God is there and God is at work. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, which is what we need to take us through the trying time, the God of all grace, remember Philippians 1:6? He who began the good work in you will finish it. That God, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. Why? That's getting displaced from this temporary into the presence of the eternal and forever. I believe there's kingdom work right now as well. With the God of all grace, knowing this, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, that's where we're headed if we're a child of God. How do I know if I'm called? Do you believe in Jesus as your Savior? You're called. It's pretty basic. Because God didn't tattoo that on all of us that are called. Now, here's a little... No. If you are trusting Jesus for salvation, you are part of this calling. What are you called to? You're called to his eternal glory in Christ. Well, after you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who did this will himself, four words, perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Let me walk through those four words. The word to perfect also means to complete, like the word accomplish, only it's a different word. Why didn't Peter use the same word? Because it had a little different emphasis. To New American Standard words, to confirm, to make fast. That's almost a nautical term, right? Are you using ropes to tie something down, to cable it, to make it solid and certain? To make fast or to establish. The next word, to strengthen, pretty much means to strengthen. There was no other definition word to add to that one. And the fourth word, establish, seems like that's in the word confirm. Establish is more of the laying of the foundation. And so in this lineup of words, I'm seeing a building project that God is doing, the laying of that foundation to make it solid and firm, strengthening it, and then the whole end of the thing to complete it. All of that's wrapped up in this. God is doing a work. And these four words, I don't believe that the wording was purposeful, that, well, after you've suffered for a little while, then here's what God's going to do. Rather, the suffering, which is for a little while, is accomplishing these things. God is also at work. How is Satan tied into this thing? Well, is it obvious or what? In the suffering, the difficult times, whatever that difficulty may be, if it's a relationship or if it's a wildfire, if it's persecution for your faith, whatever it is, the physical stuff that hits us and hits us and hits us, whatever it is, Satan wants to use that to do what? How about using Peter's wording, to devour us? To let it consume us. And that roaring lion, that ferocious, we talked about this last week, that one that should bring a terror to the heart. Not one that you can do battle with, because you have zero ability to do that. But thank you that God is stronger and he's on your side. Hallelujah for that. Resist him. What is he going to do? Tempt you and test you and try to organize it so you use your mind to try to fix this instead of casting it on the one who can do it. Is all that really tied into here? I'm thinking it certainly might be. What is God doing while Satan's trying to defeat us? He's laid a foundation. He's making it strong. He is using these things, in fact, to make us stronger and stronger. Up on this mountainside, we've got some pretty gnarly trees up Waldo Lookout Road. A lot of it's on ridges. And you get up there at any point in time, it's pretty windy. It's harsh up there. Those trees don't look very pretty and straight and lush green. They look like they have been beat up bad, just like at the ocean. You know what I'm talking about? And the more they get beat, it's like the stronger they are. Truly, there's something going on. Satan is trying to hit us where it hurts, hit us where we're weak, and God is saying, "Watch this." Stronger and stronger and stronger. And when we're breaking down, whether it's with disease or age, there is something happening in the inner man, according to Paul in 2 Corinthians. Do you remember that? By the inner man, we are being renewed day by day by day. That's speaking to the same thing that Peter is. Something is happening on the inside, even though on the outside I may be getting weaker and weaker and weaker. That's why we have to have knee surgery, eye surgery, whatever surgery, and that we're breaking down. But inside, God has got this project going on. Lay the foundation by the very word here. Strengthening it by the very word here. Ultimately, completing it. Establishing it, completing it. I think this is truth. We can say, thank you, God. This is the God that I can trust with my concerns. He is able to do this. And he cares. And he knows. Trust him. Casting your anxiety, your cares, your worries, your concern, cast it on him. So why don't I? Starting with that question. And there's, I'm sure, some other reasons that we have not entertained right here. Yes.
You're going through the words perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish. That's a progression. But it seems like it's in reverse.
It does.
Now, are you going to go there?
I don't know what to do with it. I looked at
I don't
that.
Either. That's why I'm asking you.
I don't know. But it is upside down in that building sense. Beth?
See, is that the case, or is it, you know, sometimes in the Bible there's poetry where it says something and then it says it again and we want to compare the two, but really it's kind of a restatement. So is it looking at it from different angles?
I don't know.
I don't know. And that word, perfect, in the list of definitions I have, it also includes the idea of repair.
Okay.
I don't know if you ran across that in your studying, but...
Didn't so much.
Some days I need repair.
Amen.
Maturity.
I'd like... What was that?
It also has the idea of maturity.
It does.
Perfect.
It's a different word used in James, though. James uses a different word than this one. And I want to go ahead and turn back to the book of James. Dave, you had a comment?
Well, yeah. I'm not sure where it fits in the sequence that we're into right now, but all of those four words are the future tense. At the time that we're going through that pressure, the discouragement, whatever, then it feels as though it is hopeless. That's the feel we're going to have. Now, Peter comes along, God through Peter, telling us, wait a minute, that's not the whole story. There's another chapter, and reinforces the whole idea of hope. I've come to the conclusion in the last number of years that hope is one of those things that we absolutely must have if we are going to continue as human beings existing in whatever state we're in. We need to have hope, something we can look forward to that is better than today. And in that state of feeling all of that pressure, the destruction, the discouragement, Peter says, but here's what Isaiah will bring.
I want to point out in that word hope for the Christian, for the believer, in that word hope, it's a certainty.
Yes.
It isn't, oh, I hope this is a true story. It's a certainty. And it's by faith that's out there in front because we haven't received it yet. It's a certainty. Look in James. I want to walk through his progression. Chapter 1, verse 1, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. Sounds very similar to Peter. Greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Well, that adds just a little different angle to it, you know, and it's to think about it this way. Consider it joy. Why? Because we have to ask that question because he answers the question without asking it. I ask it. Why can I consider it all joy? Verse 3, knowing, that's kind of where Peter went, that the testing of your faith has an end result. It produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect. And that is a word that, yes, it does mean mature, more so than the other word. Bring to or reach an end. There's a goal. The endurance, let endurance have its place, you know. And again, there's that tree on that ridge again. You know, hang in there. Hang in there. There's an end result coming. That you may be perfect and complete. And that's the word complete or entire. Different word than Peter's word for complete. Lacking nothing. Okay, both of these guys are getting to the same point. Paul in Philippians 1:6, God has begun a work, he will complete the work. What is God using to do the work? All of this. What is my part? Firm in the faith. Would you please turn to Hebrews chapter 6? Hebrews chapter 6. Whoever wrote Hebrews includes some of the same how-tos here. Verse 9. But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you, things that accompany salvation. So you're not just kind of immature little baby, which he talked about in chapter 5 through the first part of chapter 6, floundering as an infant Christian. We're convinced of better things concerning you, things that accompany salvation, though we're speaking in this way. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered. You have ministered, and you're still ministering to the saints. Verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence, keep moving forward, so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. So Dave, that idea is absolutely in this whole process, but that I realize this thing is for real and it's solid and God is in it and there is an enemy that's trying to defeat me, but so I can realize the full assurance of hope. It's a certainty until the end, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises of God. Yeah, keep moving forward. Okay, back to Peter. 1 Peter 5. After you, verse 10, have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion. What's the word dominion mean? Does your Bible have a different word than dominion there, verse 11? What's dominion? Power?
Sovereignty.
I'm sorry?
Sovereignty.
Sovereignty? Completely right over the top of anything else? Peter has this cool little benediction, just a short one. To him be the dominion, the one that is in charge, the one that overrides what the enemy is doing, and the one that completes the work in his child, you and me. Yeah, to him be the dominion. How long? Well, you're going to suffer for a little while, he said in the previous verse, but this work is a forever and ever thing. This is kingdom building. This is God doing what God planned to do before we were ever a twinkle in his eye. I don't think it's right to say that, but you know what I'm saying, right? Before the foundation of the earth, God had this in mind. And now Peter says, he is the king. He is the sovereign, absolute one. And that's the one that is at work in you. Can I trust him so as to cast all my care on him? Huh. I think all these verses are related. I do. And they're not tangled. It's like there's a layout. Peter goes through the whole book, bringing the people to this point. You're suffering. So are a whole lot of other people. You're suffering persecution because of Jesus and according to the will of God. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. He is building a building and you're it. It's on the inside. By the way, this would be similar. I just flipped to this verse in my mind. It is in Isaiah 40, verse 31. Though youth stumble badly, yet those who wait on the Lord, or for the Lord, or in the Lord, will be renewed with a new strength. Do you remember that? To mount up with the wings of an eagle. Even though your body might be dying, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. It's an inside work. It's a perfecting from the inside out. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. Some of us have hard time walking and not growing weary. This is different in the inner person. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the hope, Old Testament and New Testament, that I'm in his grip. Questions, comments, interaction, anybody?
Relates back to what you were talking about earlier this morning about being able to put your complete faith and trust in you. When I was going through my heart trouble before, the only way I could exist, because I was so terrified, was to rest literally in my Father's arms, I had no idea where I was, but if I could just rest in his arms, I knew he would just drop me. So I allowed myself to relax, rest in my Father's arms, and trust me. It hasn't stopped since.
Thank you. Father, thank you. We can trust you. We're learning to trust you. We're learning by observing others, trusting you. So, Father, in a practical way, there may be something right now in the forefront of our mind that we need to trust you with, whether it's a person or a circumstance, whether it's our health and something we're dealing with. Father, teach us about waiting on you. Teach us more about entrusting these things to you, like Kenneth has just said, Lord, to rest in you. Thank you for the hope that you give us in the scripture, Lord. This is a love letter to us, and we want to receive it that way, Lord God. Help us to walk it out in our current life. Be glorified in our life. Thank you, Lord God, that you are doing a work. Sometimes we're not too cooperative, but you are still merciful, full of grace, a God of all grace. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.